Thank you, Father, for this evening. Thank you, Father, for this place, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your truth, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that leads and guides us into all truth. And Lord, right now, Father, just with grateful hearts, Lord God, we thank you for this day, all that it has been, Father, and all that it will be. Thank you, Father, that you're with your people, Lord God. And Lord, just right now, as we come together in Jesus' name, Lord, we leave every care, every concern, Lord, every anxiety, everything, Father, at your feet. Lord, we ask and pray that you would take full control, Lord God, of every affair of the life that we live this day, Father, in this world. Not of it, Lord, but in this place, Father. We ask that you would have full reign and control over all things, Lord, that are happening and taking place. And Lord God, that in exchange, Lord, that you would just give us your life and your breath, Father, your strength in our bodies, Lord God, and that you would just lead and direct and guide us into all truth, Father, into your will, your plan, and your purpose. Lord, right now, Father, we just bind every demonic force, we bind every spirit of the enemy, we bind every attack and every tactic of the devil, and we cast it out, Father. We ask and pray, Lord, that you would lead and guide us into your plan and purpose, Father. And as I just acknowledge openly, Lord, again, that it's just your spirit in me, Father, that's good. And so to your spirit I yield. And I pray, Father God, that everything that happens and takes place would be according to your will, plan, and purpose. So as we go into this word, Father, we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay. So last week, we kind of got started. Go Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Okay. Romans chapter 10 and verse. Let's see, actually. Verse 16. Actually, yeah, let's start at verse 16. Actually, verse 15. Okay. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I did say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. And by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Elias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Okay. Now, last time that we started this one, the series that we're in, part two today, entitled The Hearing Ear. Now, one thing, when God's using Paul to write to the Romans and to the church in Rome, now, the statement from last week was particularly focusing on verse 17, which was, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But a little bit kind of around this passage, even being that there were people that... Hey, welcome. You came.
Hi,
okay.
We were mentioning just about hearing God. So.
Yeah, I know. It's important. Okay. So last week, we touched on chapter 10, verse 17 of Romans, which was, then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But the context and the broader surrounding of this passage is also here, they talk about, even in speaking with Israel, look, they were speaking, but they didn't hear what was going on, and then there's other people that weren't looking, but then they heard the voice of God. And so there's this thing about God is speaking. And he's always speaking. There's always word coming from the Spirit of God. But there are those that hear his voice, and there are those that don't hear his voice. quite simply. There are those that hear the word of God, and there are those that do not hear, and that will... Now, what's a chapter that we've talked a lot about where that has been discussed before? See, all this stuff will weave together and stuff that we've already touched on. John chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. John chapter 10. Okay. John chapter 10 says... John chapter 10 and verse 1 say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger." So there are those that hear the voice of God, and there are those that hear another voice and will follow another voice. And there's those that hear when God speaks, and there are those that they don't. It's just that they're following a different voice. They're following a different leading. Now, when you keep going in John chapter 10, actually, let me just keep reading these verses and we can keep it in context. Verse 6 says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Okay, so Jesus came that they might have life, and he's also leading his sheep. So there's an element of being led by and following the voice of the Spirit of God, and cross-reference all these, and an abundant life that God is offering to his people. So in order for the abundant life to be there, you have to be following the leading of the Spirit of God. Wherever it is that the voice of Jesus is taking you, that is the path of abundant life. And to go in the path of the thief or the robber or the one that jumps over the fence or whatever it is, those are all ways of destruction. The way of flesh, the way of self, all those are ways of destruction. But there's one path and only one that leads to abundant life here, now, in this reality, while you exist here. So this is important because also when you go to... Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to the seven churches, the letter being written. So you have Laodicea, you have Pergamum, you have all of Ephesus. You have every church has a letter written to them, or section written to them, devoted to them. And one instruction consistently to everyone, whether you consider it now, and this is where people have, you know, like, oh, okay, it's seven church ages and it's like something that's happened through time, or they're like, oh, it's right now, it's a type of every church that you find in the world, or it's something for every believer. Where each believer would be one of these seven, whatever it is. Okay, maybe it's all of them, maybe it's none of them, maybe it's everything. Whatever the case is, every church is given one common instruction. That's two pieces. To him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and to him who overcomes. Those two things given to every church. Every individual believer, everyone. If you are a follower of Christ Jesus, whether you're in leadership and responsibility, whether you are, just woke up yesterday, whatever it is, everyone is given that. So this is key to your life in the time that you're here in this world. To him that has an ear, let him hear, and to him that overcomes. So now, the interconnection between, in order for you to be able to overcome, what must you be able to do?
Hear.
Exactly. So if you are to be able to overcome, you have to be able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So now, what then is constituted in us being able to hear? How then do we cultivate, a hearing ear, so that we're attuned to what the Spirit of God is saying? So that, how can you take confidence in knowing when something is spoken, wait, that's the voice of the Spirit of God, and not your flesh, something that's coming from the enemy, something that's some kind of high-end military equipment that's being beaming things into your head. I mean, all this stuff is there. There's all kinds of crazy things around. How can you take solace in the word that God speaks to you? Because in that word, there is abundant life. And see, okay. Now, we talked a little bit last time about the Logos and the Rhema, right? Where the Logos is the established, complete word counsel of God existing before the world began, going well through, not one jot or tittle will disappear from that word throughout. So that nothing that happens in this reality can affect the Logos of the Word of God. Jesus himself was the embodiment of the Word of God when he came into the world. When Jesus came into the world, though he was the embodiment of the Word of God, when he spoke the Rhema of God, which was in every situation he was in. He gave the appropriate peace that they needed from the Logos to the individuals and the people in that specific situation. So when he was here living in the world, walking around, as he was empowered by the free flow of the Spirit of God through him, in a situation he'd go into, he'd be like, all right, let me give you the Rhema that you need right now. So, you have the rich young ruler that shows up to him, and Jesus, for that guy, says, look, go sell everything that you have, give to the poor, come follow me. That for him was life. That for him was the word that he needed. That wasn't the call for everyone. That there was other people that were supporting Jesus out of whatever they had, and there was other things that went on. There's other places where, where he didn't have to tell that instruction to somebody. Somebody else would come up with it themselves, like Zacchaeus. Jesus didn't have to tell him, go sell everything. Zacchaeus said to Jesus, if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to give back. Today I'm giving half my stuff to the poor. If I defrauded somebody, I'm going to pay him back four times over. I mean, it's like he came up with that. But Jesus, being the Logos, in every situation he was in, he would give that word that would be life to people if they could receive that the bread that was coming from him. So, because my flesh is, remember that, what's the Lord's Supper? You have the bread and the wine. His body, which was broken, he broke you off a piece. He broke you off a piece of himself, what you needed at that time. So he gives that peace to us. He gives that peace. He feeds us with the word. When, and then, what he would do too is he would give, again, natural examples of a spiritual reality. So much of the things that were done were natural examples to exemplify a spiritual reality of what had taken place. So even when he's feeding the 5,000, which is just 5,000 men, plus all the women and the kids, so massive crowd of people there, what he does is he just shows, look, he's inexhaustible. There's bread enough in Christ Jesus to feed the spiritual need of everyone, and there's leftover. So he's giving people the bread that they need in a situation. Now, what did Jesus say when he talked about the Spirit? He said, it's better for you that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send, the Father will send the Comforter and the Spirit of Truth, who will be with you and will lead and guide you into all truth. So now, he said, it's better for you in this situation. Well, why? Well, one thing about it is the Spirit of Truth lives inside of the heart and the soul, the Spirit, the embodiment of who you are. He lives inside of who you are right now. Jesus, while he walked around in the world, he limited himself to the confines of the human experience while he was here. So when Lazarus was dying, he was in one specific location. He had to go to be where Lazarus was to raise him from the dead. But right now, the Spirit of Truth is better for us, because it's like, hey, we don't see each other for a week, fine. The Spirit of Truth living in you is the same Spirit of Truth living in me, and I don't have to see you for a week to get a word from God. You don't have to see me for a week to get a... You have that right now. The Spirit of Truth that lives in us, that leads and guides us into all truth, is there right now. This is a better deal. This is a better situation. Because for us, he promised he'd be with us to the very end of the age for those that follow him. You see how all these things start interweaving and interconnecting? How every piece of the scripture and every piece of the word will... it's life. Now, the rhema is, and this is something we talked about last time, is where God, and we just touched on some of this stuff last time, but that's where God gives you what it is that you need from the Logos. So the Logos is, just imagine like the Logos is this, the big loaf. And then God breaks off the piece that you need right now in your situation. So that piece of it that you need, he gives it to you in this situation. Appropriate to the context, appropriate to the culture, appropriate to the situation, everything that's around you, he shows you exactly what you need in this situation. And it is personal and it is direct to you. That's why also, too, you can have two people in the exact same situation, and the Spirit of the Lord, what he quickens them to, may be different. And this is where it fries the brain of the conventional church, because what they do is they give conformity. See, that's the only way that you can control the masses, is if you get everyone to conform in one big brainless mob of people that basically do, you know, okay, everybody up, everybody down, Simon says turn around, Simon says, you know, they need to have that buy-in and check your brains at the door, because the risk of you actually knowing that you hear, that you can walk with confidence in what God shows you and speaks to you. See, most people, one, they don't want that responsibility. Two, when their life screws up, they want somebody to blame for it. They totally want somebody to blame for it. So they want to say, such and such told me, so I blame him. Or I blame God, because I, you know, this guy's the representative for God. Or whatever it is. They don't want, even back in Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, when the children of Israel were being spoken to by God with the Ten Commandments, they're like, look, we don't want to hear it. Moses, you go talk to God, and you come back and tell us what he said. Because when God was speaking directly to them as a people, What are you going to say? He didn't say that? You know, I mean, what are you going to say? It's like, here's the Ten Commandments. Oh, shoot. He just gave me 10 things that I can't, I don't, he gave me 10 things I can't do. I don't want to have to deal with the reality. If he keeps talking and I know God is giving this stuff to me, what do I do? No, Moses, here, I'll tell you what. You go talk to God, come back and tell us what he said, and then we'll consider it, and we'll find some way to find fault with you if you tell us something that we don't like or it doesn't meet with our approval. Man, in and of himself, in his fallen state, wants a person there. Do you notice that? Man wants somebody there to be that for them. So that's in them. They want to have... Remember with the children of Israel, when they said, we want a king. Bless you. Bless you. Okay, they said, we want a king. We want to be like the nations around us. Up until that, God was directly their king, and he had judges that were... So Samuel was there, and it was a good situation. And in the end, what God had to tell Samuel is, look, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. But fallen man wants that person, because in the end they want somebody that they can put, they want to put their faith in flesh, and when things go bad they want somebody to blame, because nobody wants to take responsibility. But here's the key: you will take responsibility for your life. You will give an account for everything done in your body, in your flesh, in your entire existence in the world. It's there. We have that. There's no getting away from that. And so no one is, you're not judged as a group. Your life is laid bare before God for all eternity. And so it's like, it's on an individual level. Now there's some mysteries that are wrapped up in that as well, because you know, there's things about cities and nations and generations and some elements there. But on an individual level, appointed unto every person is a time to die and then the judgment. So we all deal with that. So and if everybody's going down on the Titanic, it doesn't matter how many people pat you on the back and tell you you're okay. You know, the ship's going down. You know, you can believe whatever you want, but the reality is the hull of their ship has been breached and you're not supposed to be there now. So God gives the rhema that he gives. He gives you the specific instruction, specific word, the word that will be life to your bones, life to your flesh, every day, every moment, whatever it is that you need, he gives it to you. So this is where we, now, all right, today I wanted to spend, let's see what kind of time we got. Oh, good. I want to spend a little bit of time on what it is that we do and should do and can do to put ourselves in a position where we are as there's certain things you can do that can put yourself in a position spiritually, even naturally, where you're more attuned to being able to hear what God's saying. For example, if you have a radio in one room and it's on, well, if you want to hear what's on the radio, it's probably good to go into that room. You know, I mean, you can be on the other side of the house. Yeah, you might be able to hear something. You might catch a couple of words, but there's a certain place in the house that the radio is playing. You know, there's certain. So it's like you would do something if you wanted to hear what was going on the radio. You would, you know, or you tune it in. You would tune into the frequency of whatever the station is that you're trying to hear. There may be 50 stations playing, but if what you want to hear is whatever, some, you know, rock station or whatever, it's like you would tune into that. So you'd actively be looking for what's that frequency. what's the station that you know? Where is it? Right? So these words would make sense. So it's like when people sometimes are like, well, you know, why, you know, why are they not hearing from God? Well, have you tuned in? You know, are you expecting to, you know, you're in three rooms over there, actually, why are you expecting it to, if the radio's in the other room, why? You see what I'm saying? It's like there's certain things that we can actively do. Okay. I didn't earmark this one, but let me check. Okay, I need to, sorry, I should have checked this one. Okay, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And then it goes on, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, that they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Okay. Actually, even this next verse in 19, where he says, "Lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Even that ties into the ability to hear the voice of God. See, okay, Jesus is giving, now this is, you know, the whole Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is giving some specific instructions, specific counsel to basically, this is like, here, let me give you a crash course and some things that you need to live in this reality, in this world, in this paradigm that you're in. And he's also giving people rhema and life and something that they can walk out. You can take this and do something with it. Okay. All right. When Jesus says, first of all, when he's like, all right, when you pray, he's like, why does he tell people to go enter into that closet and shut the door?
So that you're away from distraction as well as you are not disturbed by it.
Yeah. It's to see, okay, there's something, exactly, that's exactly it. See, we first make a deliberate decision to push out potential external distractions. So we do that. So for him, he's like, look, closet. I mean, back then, like, these are mass communities, how much private space do you have? But he's like, a closet is enough, a place where you put some clothes. It's like, get in there, but get to find some place, find some spot where you can block out the external distractions that would be there around you. Now, Jesus, one thing that he would do practically is he would get up way early. Way early. Way early. And get out he would put himself in a place where, he would go up onto the mountain. He would, in being a living embodiment of the a successful life in this world, for sure, he showed something, he modeled something. Now, again, see, this is the difference between, I'm not going to give you some kind of hard and fast rule, because there's some people I know that just pray into the night. And that's the time when they can get away. They pray into the night, God calls them to be. See, here's, again, even just this balance. See, right there, it's like, see, people say, oh, okay, Jesus got up and prayed in the morning, and that's the way, so now for you, you need to get up at 5 every day. And you should be, if you're not, and you're not wired like that. But the principle being, look, find a way to block out the world. Find a way to block out the external, whenever it is that God quickens you to do it, but block out all the distractions and find a way and a place to get away with Him. And this is what you can do. This is what you need to do. Because you start with that. See, for example, like today, last couple of days, these next door neighbors, these guys at like 9 a.m. are banging on this metal tin thing because they're just loud, gives you a headache. I wouldn't be able to think straight if you know, I mean, it's like that thing was just like a bunch of demons there. Pom, 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 pom. I mean, but that's, you know, a real extreme example of what the world actually does every day. You know, once you get going a little bit, as you know what it's like, just in your office, you know what it's like, or just you're in the middle of your thing in the day. Once the day starts going a little bit, it's just bombarding you on every side, and you can be like, okay, Lord, you know, you can talk to some in the middle of that, but you have so many things trying to draw you out, because the world is trying to keep you in that surface reality anyways. But for yourself to be able to hear and to put yourself in a position, first learning to cultivate that act of prayer. Because out of the act of prayer, you can live in a state of prayer throughout the entire day. Okay, now back to the whole thing about natural examples of a spiritual reality. You remember when the children of Israel, when the whole thing with manna, right? How that worked. The manna would come down, you know, in the night. It would, when they'd go out to gather it, it would be on the ground, and they would pick it up. But when the sun came out and it would shine, it would dissolve and it would melt away. So they had to get that daily bread before the sun came up. They would go and get that thing. Because once everything had started, then it's like it's gone. So there was a window of time for them to gather that. And so, you know, then you take that, okay, here's the daily bread coming down from heaven with these guys, natural examples, spiritual reality, and then you're like, okay, Jesus going down, going to the mountain to pray, and then you see him talking about, look, when you pray, he's like, don't be as, verse 5, and when thou pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray and standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They don't care about connecting with God. Their prayers have nothing to do with a connection, with hearing the rhema of the Spirit. It has for them, their whole thing is about being perceived to actually be something. It's all done for show. There's nothing that has anything to do with God in what they do, outside of using God as a business. So, but Jesus says, look, when thou pray, but thou, when thou prayest, he's talking to those that are really his. This is my true disciples, and this is ones that really are mine, not the workers of the devil. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. And then, so first thing is put yourself in a situation where you can minimize the external distractions. You know, one thing I did just practically is I bought some earplugs. And I don't use them like all the time, but occasionally sometimes they're just, it's like I can't get away from stuff anywhere. And so sometimes I'll even use those. Just because it's like, especially in like a country like this where you are just surrounded, there's so many noises and so many, and just bombarded on every side. Sometimes it's like, look, I don't want to hear anything, but I just want to get away. You're with him. So you can do whatever, but just see what God wants from us is he wants us to make that effort. He wants us to be in that pursuit. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. He wants to see from your side that you are willing to take that step and make that effort to make that effort to hear what he's saying. And if you will just put that level in on your side, he will meet you there. Okay. Another thing that we do is, now the Lord's Prayer is powerful. I mean, it's you can pray this in 30 seconds, you can pray this over the course of several hours, you can pray this over, you can live the Lord's Prayer ultimately. And it's actually just the prayer that he gave to the disciples. But with that prayer, one thing that does is it quickens us, it puts us in a position to incline your ear, to incline your hearing to what the Spirit of God is saying. For example, when it goes, let's just keep going with this. Verse 7 says, When ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. So see, again, these guys, it's not about hearing what the Word of God is saying and God speaking. It's back to, here's my method. And let me say this again. Oh Jesus, please. 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 Okay, it'll work on the seventh time. Yeah. No. It's like, it's not about that. Verse 8, but be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye. Now here's how to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay. God inhabits the praises of his people. The scripture is very clear about that. In the Old Testament, when the armies of Israel would go out, they would send the worship team first. They would go out with, that would go ahead of them into these different things. They understood the need for the presence of God to go before and to guard them behind. I mean, that was just the way that God worked with them. And throughout, God inhabits the praises of his people. God, in the environment that he lives in, is an environment of worship and praise unto him continually. So when we, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right there, you are putting yourself in a position where you are joining the praise and the worship that's going on throughout in an eternal state. You're putting yourself in that. You're taking yourself out of the context of everything going on around you, where you have this going on and this problem and this situation and this bill and this jackass over here that whatever, and all of that stuff that's going on. You tip yourself now out of that and put yourself into a spiritual state of what is taking place in the very presence and courtroom of God. So as that's there, you're now joining in with that worship and that praise is taking place to Him. And you are connecting up with your true eternal self in His presence. And it just so happens that when you're connecting up with the place where His presence is, you're also connecting up with the place where you're hearing, because that's where He's speaking. You see how that works? So you're putting yourself, you are putting yourself in a place where you're like, ah, you're releasing, you're letting go, and also now you're just enjoying His presence, but being, you're starting in this place where you're tuning your ear to the word of what He's saying. So it has to do with our attitude. It has to do with where we choose, even willfully, to put ourselves at that point. Okay. And so as you keep praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. So now, what is it that you're asking for? You're asking for. You want to line up with what He's doing. You're asking for that alignment. You're asking for that. You want the dominion of the King to be real right now where you are. So you're asking, hey, my King, whatever it is that you are speaking, I want to line up with that word. Now, what are you asking? He can show you. Because you're asking for that. You are taking yourself off of the throne of your own life, and you're asking Him to sit in that position of power and authority for the dominion of the King to be realized in your life, because from that He's now speaking and you can walk out those steps. So you've put yourself in, you're willfully asking for Him to speak. Okay. Give us this day our daily bread. Wow, cool. Daily bread, the rhema, the bread that came down from heaven, all these, there's so many overlays between how this works. And then this works on just a very basic, natural level too. Lord, I've, the natural needs that I have this day too, would You meet those? I mean, He'll meet everything. He'll meet the natural needs that you have, the spiritual needs, the mental, every single need that you have, He can meet that. Okay, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay, the issue here is you remember the parable of the unmerciful servant? When he didn't forgive, what happened was he was turned over to torturers, and then because he was forgiven so much, and then he wouldn't even forgive somebody something that was a token of that, or just a fraction of that, and then he ended up having to, he got turned over. And so we, and even verse 14, after he speaks about the Lord's Prayer, he talks about it just becomes a block. So we have to let go, we have to release, because as you let go and as you release, and it's something the Spirit of God empowers you to do, as you let go and as you release, then you now, that block is out of the way, so now you can receive the free flow from the Spirit of God of what He wants to speak to you right now. And whatever it is, whatever people have done to us, it's like, if you just stop and think about what, you know, what we've done to Him, and the ways that we've hurt His heart, it's like nothing that anybody has done will be worse than that. Nothing that anybody's done to us will ever outweigh what it is that we've done to Him and the price that He's paid for us. So it's like, yeah, we can let that go. And He will empower you by His Spirit to let that go if you make a willful decision to do that. So if you say, all right, Lord, You've instructed me to forgive. I choose to forgive. Help me. You know, help me to do what's so difficult in my flesh to do, because it's more important for me to hear the voice of Your Spirit and to live the life that You intend for me to live than for me to hold on to this grudge or this thing that I feel entitled to. So we make that choice. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay. One thing about that is, the temptations that come from this world and this world system, they're also striving to again bring you back into the distractions, to again bring you out of that position and that place where you can hear the voice of God. So they want to, you're trying to go deeper in the spirit with Him, and these temptations and the evil that's coming from the world is working to bring you back into either a carnal reality or to take you into a diversion into another spiritual path, which is really a deception that then can enslave you in some other spiritual pitfall along the way. So it's like, so you're praying, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep me in the path. I'm a sheep. You call me a sheep. Okay, cool. I accept the label. Unless the sheep is continually guided on the right, he will go off into all kinds of things. He will get into all kinds of trouble. So, like, please, just keep me on track. I need to hear from you just in this way. And then, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's just a humble submission as well. Look, it's all about Him. This whole life, everything, every moment, every breath is just about Him. And if we can accept that, if we can allow for His life then to flow through yours, you're on a good thing. See, the thing that nobody told me was that you, maybe some people might have alluded to it in some ways, but you, to let go of what you believe life is in this world, you don't lose by doing that. You actually gain the real thing, but it's a paradox, and no one is going to tell you, because the bulk, by and large, really hard to find somebody that's not sold out to the world in the first place. So they're all sold out to the world. The world's got a piece of them. And they're not going to tell you, don't be enslaved to the world, because they are. So, you know, and they haven't heard the voice of God for a long time, because, frankly, the last time He spoke to them, they didn't follow Him in it. See, back to the whole thing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, you hear. Imagine this. Jesus is walking. You know, He's a shepherd and He's walking. Well, if you heard the Word spoken to you, and if you're following Him, you have to keep up with the voice. So He says, okay, this way. You got to go that way. He says, turn left. You've got to go left. And if you stop when He says, you know, go right, and you don't go right, you stay where you are. Well, if He continues to move, that voice gets further and further and further away. Because He continues to move. And then there comes a point where it's like, whoa, why haven't I heard from God? I don't hear from God anymore. What do you mean you don't hear from God anymore? What did He say to you the last time you heard from Him? Did you do it? Did you do it? Well, why not? Why not? I mean, it's just, why not? Because you stop at the place where you get off the train. People get off the train, and then what they do is, because they stopped hearing the voice of God, then this is where I need a man to stand in that place between me and God. I need to find a pastor. Pastor, I stopped hearing from the voice of God. What's God saying? You see how that game works? And now right there, He, especially if He's a certain servant of the devil, He's got you. Oh, don't worry, you're okay. You didn't really do anything. Just come on Sunday and you know you'll be okay. Come on Friday, and now you've got to mark the attendance, pay your 10% guilt tax, and show up and be a good little boy. And so you've got a ton of people locked into a bread box, And all of these guys, they haven't heard the voice of God. They're plugged into the world and the world system. They got off the train with what God is doing. And now, and it's like, and they, but they're banking their eternity on somebody who's a sellout telling them, you're okay. You're okay. Don't worry about it. I know what I'm talking about. Oh, here, let me give you your purpose-driven, regurgitated McDonald's franchising of the body of Christ. God gives you fresh daily bread, manna from heaven, and they give you reprocessed McDonald's that'll kill you if you eat that every day. Just watch Supersize Me. It'll kill you quickly. So what is it that see, basic thing. All right. So first thing is you put yourself in a place where you can give that close, undivided attention to the Father. You lock yourself away with Him. Do whatever you've got to. If you live in a house in just one single room and you've got to go outside and find some spot in the hills, you know, at 4 a.m, sure. You know, I mean, if whatever. Or if it's a closet, or if it's a big room, or if it's, but find some place where you can get away with Him. And then incline your ear. There's certain things where God has done. When He talks about fasting, fasting's another thing. It's another thing where you are in something you do before Him as the Spirit leads you into it. See, again, this is another thing where it's like people will use, they'll be like, okay, now we're going to have this group fast. Well, is God leading you to fast? Well, if not, you're just going to be really hungry and really grumpy. Trust me, I know about the being grumpy thing, whatever. But if God leads you to fast, what happens is because He'll lead you, He'll show you how. And when He leads you and He shows you how to do that as well, there's a spiritual blessing. And what it does is basically it diminishes the flesh so that you can attune into spirit. So it's you are foregoing something in the flesh so that you can be in a state of heightened spiritual sensitivity to hear what it is the Spirit of God is saying. The God would do other things with this in the Old Testament times, where He would talk to, where basically, even back to the whole thing about the Ten Commandments, so there was different times when He would speak to the children of Israel. He said, look, when they were getting close to that point, He'd say, look, husbands and wives don't sleep together before this time, because He wanted them to be in a place where they were not, their senses spiritually were heightened. It's New Covenant times talking about married couples, and even Paul writing to the church, he said, look, you know, when he talked to them about sex and sexuality, he said, you know, there will be a time for even married couples where you take a break from each other, but for one purpose, so that you can break away to pray. But then he's like, but then come back together so that you don't get tempted because of your lack of self-control or something like along those lines. But basically it's like the time where you would take a break is because you are diminishing the flesh in order to pursue the Spirit. And to pursue the hearing of the voice of what it is that God is speaking. So, and it's something that is said too for a married couple to do by mutual consent. So it's not something where the wife's like, oh baby, okay, I'm going over here to pray, and where the, like, no, it's like both people being, and see, that's what, why it's so important again too, that in a relationship where you have two people that are on that same track, because when God is drawing a couple into that, that's a blessing, because the couple, God will speak to both of them and He will show to both of them, look, take a break, I want you guys both to get into prayer, I want you both to seek Me on this, because I'm going to show you something, I'm going to reveal a direction for you and for your entire family. You see the difference between that and being equally yoked as compared to being unequally yoked, where you've just got a wife or a husband that maybe loves God but the partner doesn't, and then now the situation that you're in is constantly just like trying to, no, I'm serious, constantly like trying to make something happen there. There's more going on in this reality than making a happy life here. It's about Him. It's about Spirit. It's about walking in truth. What would you be willing to give up to receive what it is that God has for you? What will you let go of? See, Jesus in the end, what He demanded was everything. He demanded that, you know, if you're going to follow Me, if you are going to be one of Mine, if you really are that, then it's all, 100%. There is no wiggle room in this thing. Because if it's not 100% pure, you will falter at that place. So He wants that, and He will. If somebody starts down that, here's the thing: if somebody starts down that path with Him, He will work with you wherever you're at, and you just keep going in that process with Him. So today it'll be one thing, tomorrow it'll be, and He will be gentle and patient with you. But the one thing that He wants from you is the commitment to keep going. The commitment to keep going in that direction. And so you fall down, you'll break a leg, you'll whatever, but you still keep moving with Him. He wants that. Okay. Now, when He speaks, another thing involved in hearing is focusing your eyes on the way that God has already directed you. The way that God's already showed you. So now He speaks to you. So you keep that focus on what it is that He's shown you. So He shows you something in the Word. He gives you an instruction. Okay, you know, write it down. Act it out. Walk it out. So Jesus says, look, so like we used the drinking example last week. Alright, so for one person, for a brother, that will be his instruction for that person. That is his rhema for that person. That is the place where this guy is at right now, and it's a hindrance and it's a block to that person walking with Him. So what Jesus says to that one is, look, for you, my child, my son, my daughter, you're done. You need to let this go. So, right now, I want you to get rid of the alcohol. Okay. Keep that word in front of you. So what you do, if you need to, first thing, write it down because you know that He spoke it to you. Stick it on your mirror. Put it in your wallet. Write it in magic marker on your hand before you go out for the evening. So you go out for the evening and it's on your right hand, and then you got a beer in your hand and it's just like, whoa, wait a second. Remember what God spoke to you. Do whatever it is that you need to, so that whenever you're in the context and the situation, that it's there, that word that God spoke to you comes back to you. Because, again, we have very short memory spans as sheep. And we have a way in this, the world won't do this for you. The world will do everything possible to smooth over whatever it was that God told you, and He'll be like, no, it doesn't really mean that. No, it's okay. But see, this is God's word for you. This is God's rhema for you. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That Word is spoken to you, you hear it, when you act on that and you walk that out, then now what's happened is faith grows in you. Because now you see the response and the repercussions of taking that step in spirit. For me, I've seen it enough for myself to be like, okay, there is no other way I want to live. I must live this way. I'm addicted to living this way. I really, really want this way. Because for myself, every time I take a step that I know is in line with the Spirit of God, I do stupid steps too, but when I make a step that I know is in line with the Spirit of God, I've seen amazing supernatural repercussions, positive, amazing, life-changing stuff, again and again and again and again, as I go through and walk out the last thing that he did and the last thing that he showed me. So there is a reward for that. There is an adventure for that. There is life for that. I mean, it's just like, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking back to even this medicines thing that's come here. Okay, the way that I got hooked up with these people is some people that I worked with years ago, but God put that connection. How God allowed for that connection, for me to meet some people that then would translate over into me working, that would then be something, that would be the way that I would pay for certain things that would happen and expenses. And then now how that's translating into basically saving a lot of people's lives today. Now, had I not taken that step of faith back when God told me to, way back when, and had I not responded to when he said, here, this, I want you to take this offer and not this one. Had I taken the one that might seem right to my own natural mind and not taken the one that he was directing, that door wouldn't be open then today for something that keeps a lot of people alive. And I don't know where this one bridges from here into the next, but each one is a piece of the progression. And each one, the Spirit of God knows where it is that you are right now, this moment in time, and he is trying to lead you in that right path, because he sees your whole life as it open before him. Your whole life is open before him. And so he is giving the best possible one for you, if you will accept it. Go ahead. So, okay, cool, thank you. So God is doing that for us. So one thing that you need to do is keep, when God speaks to you, keep that in front of you till that is accomplished. Till that happens. I mean, something that I've done as well is sometimes when God's like given a word, and sometimes maybe I'm not quite sure, because sometimes I've kind of fumbled around. It's not like I've got this whole, I'm walking this thing out too. And so sometimes like I've gotten a word, sometimes he'll speak something into my own heart, sometimes something will come through somebody that I trust the way that God speaks to them and it resonates with the Spirit of God in me, whatever it is. And or I'll read it in the scripture and just hit me, and whatever. And I will write that down. And I will keep that. And I put that sometimes into a little book that I've kept of just those things. Where like stuff from 10 years ago where God would have spoken and said, you know, this is something that I've, and now today I'm starting to see that happen. But I kept it. I would have forgotten that had I not done some way to keep that word there so that I could refer to it at some point. See, this takes some responsibility on your side. This takes some effort on your side. This takes some deliberate intention for you to say, look, Lord, what am I doing here? What's this life about? What is my purpose while I'm here? Okay, he shows you. Did you remember what he told you? Do you have... He gives it to you all in one day. Did you write it down? Did you keep it? Did you think about it? Did you pray about what he showed you? What are you doing now towards that end? If he said, look, I want you to be the best accountant that's ever walked the face of the earth, are you reading an accounting book? You know, I mean, are you moving in that direction? Are you working with whatever it is that he showed you? Are you keeping that in mind for, so when he shows you something, are you, when distractions come along the way and things come to try to take you off that path that God has given you, do you let that go? Do you push those things to the side? What do you do to stay in line with what it is that God's revealed to you? Do you keep that word in front of you? So you have to make that decision. No one's going to do this for you. No one. Your family won't do this for you. Your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, whatever. Nobody will do this for you. You do this before God, and you do this before God with an honest heart and a clean heart. Open. Basically, you say when you come before Him, Father, I am open. I am open for anything. Whatever you want goes. Just please, if I'm missing it, correct me, show me, and keep me on the right path, because I don't want to miss what you're doing. Start like that. And as He shows you, now keep it. And as He shows you, as He starts revealing, now work with it. Allow Him to paint a big vision in your heart. Why not? Or maybe your life is just 20 more minutes. Maybe that's it. Maybe God has for you to check out right now. Okay, well, don't you want those last 20 minutes in this reality to actually be about what He have for you to do and have for you to be for this last 20 minutes? Or would you want to waste it watching Friends? Most people get sucked up into surface reality and life in the world, and they miss. Most people are absolutely unprepared for the eventual crossover from this life into the next. And most people would rather spend their life distracted, would rather spend their life in meaningless pursuits, would rather spend their life in anything than have to deal with the eventuality. But no one can stave off that. Everyone dies. Who's ready to die? Of the people that you know right now in your life, who's ready to die? Who's ready for this life to be over and to meet their Creator and to stand before Him? No, I mean, think about it. How many people do you know that are in that place? So, but that's important. See, here, you know, something Martin Luther King Jr. said. A few things. Well, he said some good stuff. One was, he said, a man is not a man until he has something he's willing to die for. Basically just saying, look, you know, that. I mean, it's true. It's like, until, if people are still holding on to everything in this life, but it's, a person needs to have something greater than themselves and their selfish reality that they're willing to commit themselves and their life to. God gives that. He shows you that. He gives you something that is worth more than this reality. Also along those lines too, everyone dies. And actually right now we're moving into a season of time in this world where a lot of people are going to die. And people are already freaked out about the swine flu. That's nothing. That's nothing compared to what's coming. But people are already scared right now. Why? Because they're afraid. Because the thing about something like that, they can't really control it. Because the flu bug could jump over the fence and it could come into a rich neighborhood and you can't really bar that from getting in, or it could come into an airport. But it's uncontrollable. Well, you know what? Your life is on loan. The breath in your nostrils is given by God for a season of time, and you got to give it back to Him. So while you're here and your life is on lease, this is a place for basically one decision, which is, do you follow Christ Jesus, or do you go the way of the world, which is the bulk of everything that you're surrounded by, plus every distraction, plus all of, you know, just when you stop and see it, you have to ask yourself, my goodness, look at everything that's there to try to keep me from Christ. everything that's there to try to keep you from Christ. So even like sex and sexuality, all of that is there and twisted to just screw people up so that they can't hear. The TV, turn the thing on, all the drunkenness, all the drugs, everything. I mean, I've got some great friends that got really messed up on drugs. It puts them in a place where they can't hear. And God will meet them. You know, and that's, God will meet them. God will meet anyone, but when you hear the voice of the Spirit of God, respond, obey. That's the thing. When you hear Him speak, that's your cue. Okay, I hear it. I hear Him. I gotta go that way. And that's why too, it's like, it's people that have come from really, like, whatever background, whatever messed up background people have, for those that have responded, it's like, you see amazing things happen in their lives. Okay, one more. So you keep that word which God has directed you in. Don't let it go away from you until you have walked that out, fulfilled that. Don't let it go away. Keep that in front of you. So do whatever you need to walk that thing out. So if He shows you something, do it. Then you let His word become your meditation. So here, for example, let's go this way. Psalm 1. Go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Okay. So, back to verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So this is, blessed is the man that walketh, that blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like the rivers of the plant. Okay, so, and then it goes on to the blessing that's there, but the person that delights in this, in what it is that God reveals, that delights in the Word, that delights in what God's showing you, and whoever stays in connection with that Word, with the living Word, which is Christ Jesus, there's an amazing blessing for that. And this is why too, this is again something where we can make a conscious and deliberate effort, where we make a conscious, deliberate effort to keep that which affects you and you meditate on, set your heart on things above. Whatsoever is, Paul went through his this book, basically, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is, you know, he said, think about those things. Those are the things that you think about. Let your thoughts be directed and in connection with whatever it is that God is the counsel and the Word and who it is that He is. Whereas if you let the world, if you just give the world your brain, and say, okay, here, program me. Have you seen what it turns out? Have you seen the lives that it produces? I mean, God is offering life. He's offering truth. He's offering real life. But it comes at a cost on our side as well. He paid the highest price and the highest cost, and nothing that he could ask of us would be too much. But it does come at a price. And the price that you and I pay is basically, it's like, it's complete. We match his. He gave 100% for us. What he requires and asks of us, if you're going to follow him, is complete, the same. He is the groom, we're the bride. And we match. We become the perfect union. That we develop the same mind. We develop the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We come to that place. But that's a process of us walking this thing out. So each of us is in some place in this transition. Each of us is in some place in your spiritual walk and progression with Him. But what you and I do is give ourselves completely over to the work of the Spirit and how He does that with us. And you know what? The thing is too, is time is short. So it's not worth wasting. You know, it's not worth wasting. Right now it's the fact that people even have this period of time right now to get in line, get in step, learn the voice of God. Because it's crucial for your survival. It's crucial for the life that you live now in the world. Because as things continue to go the way that they're going, you will need for yourself to be able to hear the voice of God for yourself. And if you don't, you know, where else are you going to get it from? Because the very people, if you count on a certain support structure, for example, right now, all those people could be moved out of the way tomorrow. God could send them all over the world. Or communication could break down. Stuff happens. Today my phone line got cut. No, it happens. I mean, just, you know, it was a mistake by the telecom company. They repaired it. But, you know, you can, whatever, stuff happens. You need to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit of God for yourself. And you need to learn how He's speaking, what He's saying, and what now do I do. And He responds to us, it's a relationship. So, time has gone fast today. No, you're cool. So time has gone fast, I think.